Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. Lorraine Goodwin. This is June 2nd, it's the 3rd, about 1:30 in the morning, and I'm going to welcome you to Carpe Diem, Dr. Lorraine Goodwin. The show lasts about a half an hour. We are located in the Central Valley, right in the heart of California, right in the middle, desert area. We do a lot of farming now. These are mega farms. Oh, I got a little cough here. Hold on just a second while I take some water. And we have good news. We're going to have Bernie Sanders coming to our Central Valley. We had Donald Trump come, and he got a large crowd and had a lot of protesters. Because we're a large farming area, we have a lot of people who are Mexican, have been here before the Americas took over. So they're like native Californians, and then we've had a lot of people crossing Mexico who were not in this country, who wanted to cross over for mainly financial reasons, better lifestyle. And we have a lot of other people who come, because people who come across the Mexican border or across through the Canadian border and come down into California, they come from all countries. They come from Europe. They come in from all the Asian countries. And, of course, Mexico. And so lots and lots of different people come here illegally. People tend to think it's just Mexicans, but we have a very visible Mexican population that is, you know, where English is their second language, their culture is mostly from Mexico, and they do come, you know, as I said, for financial reasons. They try to have their children here so they can get an education. And then the parents that came across the border illegally, of course, want to stay with their kids once they're here, so then they come and live, and then they want, of course, the benefits. They want, when they're older, they want to retire and have Social Security and all the other things that Americans have. And they have various ways of working that out over the years, you know, whether they register to be, have some type of green card, or whether they work on getting a citizenship or whatever. And from what I've seen, most of the people who are doing okay do go on and become citizens, and that isn't much of a problem. Then we have other groups that, you know, of course, have gotten into trouble. Some of these kids don't know they're not American citizens. As I said, their parents come over for financial things that they can't get in their home country. And they have babies here, so as far as the kids know, they've come here either were born here or came very young, and so they don't know that they're not citizens, and so they grow up in the schools, they learn to speak English, they feel entitled to everything, and then when they go out and get in trouble, and they do a background check on them, that's when they find out that they aren't citizens, and you know, they send them back to Mexico. Of course, when they go back to Mexico, now they're in a totally different culture. They've never been to Mexico. They've never been in that whole scene. They don't have they don't know their relatives there and so forth. But some do. Now, I know a lot of people who travel back and forth to Mexico regularly. But, of course, if you're not a citizen and you travel back and forth, then you might have problems getting back in. So it's a very complicated situation. It's very different for everybody. Nobody has exactly the same scenario or the same things they're dealing with. So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution, and as they try to figure out exactly what they're going to do with the immigration laws and to help immigration in the United States, it's a very individualized thing, and everybody's going to want something different. Well, not that many differences, but there are a lot of differences that people will want, and that will have to come through a really well-thought-out program. And I think just as Donald Trump is saying, you know, just building a wall really doesn't solve the problem. But it's hard as it is to believe, it was really the only thing that people were suggesting for, you know, decades. That was the only thing people would say, one thing or another about building a wall or having a wall. And now, of course, the people in South America are coming under the border. They're building very extravagant. I mean, the tunnels they build are just so extravagant, it's hard to believe that they can do that, and absolutely nobody has any knowledge. There's no kind of sensitivity measuring devices around the border, so they don't even know when the people are building something under the border, dragging away all that dirt. I mean, it leads to very unstable land. I mean, all that border area could cave in because of the numerous tunnels. We don't even know how many tunnels are down there. And they are very elaborate. They do look very sturdy, but can they handle all that traffic that's above them? They're only wood tunnels. They're only made with, you know, wood holding up the walls and keeping the ceiling from falling in. And I don't know. I've never seen them fill up these tunnels. I've never seen them get rid of the tunnels. So I don't know exactly what they do to make all of that safe. It's very, very, I mean, if they can do that, I don't think Americans could do that. Build that tunnel and have absolutely no one detect anything going on. And who knows how long those tunnels have been up. You know, they could have been up years. No one knows. Okay, well, let's go back. Bernie Sanders, as I said, is coming to the Central Valley, and he's going to be in Modesto, I believe, it's on Saturday. Now, he gets a big crowd, but it's not a real, it's not an angry crowd, so we don't have a lot of stuff going on. I mean, he makes an appearance, and then he leaves, and there's not much commotion. And they're putting in a lot of time and effort, because if Bernie can win California, that's a real smack against Hillary, who is trying to clinch the Democratic ticket for president. But if he gets California, makes a really good stand here, gets enough followers, it makes her a weaker candidate. You know, shows that she isn't a shoe-in to become president. Hillary will become the candidate because she, by her long history of being First Lady of the United States when her husband was president, and then going on to be a New York senator, and then being Secretary of State, she has so many connections. People know her. She's a well-known commodity, and people will, because of based on that history, will vote for her with as far as superdelegates. Now, with the delegates she has now and the superdelegates, she has enough to become the candidate. But it would be nice for her to come and make a strong showing in these last states and then really come in as a really formidable candidate so that she would have a stronger stance against the Republican candidate. And then also the Libertarians have a candidate who they think is very well qualified this year. So I don't know what exactly his situation is, but that'll be something for us to see too. Now, Bernie will get a huge crowd because of the things he's saying. What's he saying? He wants to make income and wealth more equal in the United States. So he wants to raise up the low income, and he wants to lower down the very, very wealthy. Well, that, you know, we have a lot of people in my area, Central Valley, very, very poor. We have some very, very rich people. Those would be the farmers, the people who have been the early settlers out here who, you know, grabbed a lot of the water rights and grabbed a lot of land when they were giving away land. And so we do have two extremes here. And, of course, all the people who aren't wealthy will be very interested in what Bernie's going to say about making everything more equitable as far as income and wealth. Now, the big thing Bernie is saying that's really getting young people, and they're just screaming, Bernie, 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 is he wants to make college tuition free, no cost, and that you come out of college debt-free, owing no money. Now, that sounds really great, but I know that won't work because our colleges, universities, well, he just says college, he didn't say university, the colleges, all of the presidents, all of the people who are long-term, they want very high salaries, and they want lots of benefits, they want lots of days off, they want all kinds of things. And so when you have it all free, it's going to mean that there are going to be higher taxes. Now, Bernie says he's going to get it all out of the rich. But I think, you know, his getting everything he's asking for out of one group of people, the rich, isn't going to work. We already have a lot of people who are leaving the United States who are rich because they've made their money. Right now, they're just sitting on piles and piles of money, and they know that over the past years, they've been having more and more people coming and saying they got to pay higher percentages of their wealth to the government. And so for that reason, they're giving up their American citizenship and living quite happily in Europe. And some of them came from Europe, too. So for them, that's no big deal. They're just going back home, and they're going back home extremely wealthy. It is a loss to the United States. We know we've seen iPhone take a lot of its business to China and other places. We see Disney right now. They're out making a big celebration about their Disneyland that's opening up in China. And other countries, I think they have one in France. I don't think Japan has enough room for one, but I know they're in other countries making duplicate Disneyland. So it means those people don't have to come to the United States to see Mickey Mouse anymore, and that means a loss of income and travel revenue, tourist revenue for the United States every time they take these big draws to a foreign country. And then by moving to these foreign countries and getting deals, they can have, you know, say their Disneyland in a foreign country and have it so that they pay much less in taxes as a way of enticing Disney to come and build these places. In a lot of countries, when you build stuff, your investment is not secure. The government can come in at any time and claim it, take it away from you, and you could be left with nothing. So having a very great relationship with the government and, you know, just a lot of trust to put all your money into those things, because in the end, you could be losing a whole lot more just by creating all that stuff and then finding out that the government's going to take it as their own. That happened to some people who were retiring in South America. They were enticing Americans because of the high cost of property and the lack of great properties in the United States, they were enticing people to come down to certain countries, and were showing coastal housing where you could live right on the water and your taxes would be extremely low, and they showed how lush it was with the trees and all this stuff, and stuff made it very, very appealing. So a lot of people went down there and said, you know, they live high on the hog with their retirement money and have a much better life in these new South American places. Then they come to find out that people, sometimes people in the areas really dislike them because they were coming down, flaunting their wealth, maybe not, and not being a part of the community. And so people would come up and sneak up on them and rob them. You know, they would go down and get a large property, have a lot of trees around the house, and then they would find while they're sleeping, people are sneaking up on their property and entering the house and robbing them. And, of course, they could kill them, you know, because they are away from their family, they are away from American laws and so forth. There's a lot more corruption. And certain governments do work with these gangs so that when they do crimes, they don't get punished. And they transfer some of the money over to the government. So these seniors who were doing this found that they were living in fear. And they were finding also in certain places the government was coming in and reclaiming the property that they bought. So after putting their money in and buying these retirement homes, they found that the government was coming in and saying that for certain reasons, laws in their areas, these people couldn't own that property, and they lost ownership. And I don't know whether they chased them out or whether they just changed, said you can't own it. But I know there have been a lot of problems with people who wanted to take advantage of some of the great spots we hear about for retirement and had a very, very hard time. So far, what I mentioned is for Bernie, you know, is the income and wealth redistribution, debt-free college tuition, make everything free for college. Well, it didn't say everything, just make tuition free. Reducing the money that's in politics, we all want that. I mean, the PACs are just ridiculous. And I think that was Bush that put those in there. You know, he was corrupt anyway, he and Cheney. And then now these big corporations are pouring tons of money in, well above the limits that individuals can use to support their favorite candidate. And so it just ruined it for ordinary people who want to come in and be a candidate. So people like if an ordinary person wanted to do what Trump did, they couldn't do it because they wouldn't have the money. Trump had the money in his pocket. He could come in and do and challenge the people who were career politicians. But you and I couldn't do that because we would not have the money in our pockets to do that. So that's what we all want, you know, especially non-Republicans want that. But, you know, some Democrats want to keep it the way it is because they're really bringing in lots and lots of money with these PACs. But it's just made it more out of reach, more unfair for the average person. Bernie wants to create decent-paying jobs. Well, you know, a president can do that, but that's really not a president's job to create jobs. And he would have to probably go through Congress because he would have to get some kind of jobs program, and he would have to, I mean, that would be a very detailed thing about creating jobs. And President Obama has already done a lot of stuff to raise the minimum wage and to get more time for pregnancy leave for both men and women, and to also equal pay for women. Lots of different things that have been going on to help make things better as far as decent work places and decent wages for people have been going on all during President Obama's time in office. A living wage is another thing that Bernie is advocating, and that is, of course, one of the things that President Obama had squarely in his sight during his presidency, and he has had several increases in the minimum wage. So that's pretty much is being taken care of and will continue to need to be monitored and manipulated as things change. Okay, he wants a fair and humane immigration policy. You know, and that's a big subject. I'm not going to be able to talk about that here. But as I said, that's a very individual, many, many different aspects to that. It's just a big subject. Some of the things he wanted that were kind of unusual, he wanted to help the Hawaiians. No, he did want to help one, but what I was thinking of, he wanted to help Puerto Rico. You know, Puerto Rico has, it's not a state, but like a territory of the United States, and so they pay a lot of taxes and stuff to the United States. They get services, but they can't afford all of the billing that the United States is doing against them, and of course, people go down there because it's a beautiful place, beautiful island. And the big corporations take over and impose other problems on the people who are native Puerto Ricans. And what they need, Bernie says he wants to restructure the debt of Puerto Rico, and I'm not in favor of that. I think we need to have debt forgiveness. We need to go down to Puerto Rico and say, okay, you know, these were excessive charges and wipe out a large part of that Puerto Rican debt, certainly half or more, and, you know, I have to examine exactly what the limitations are, but at least half of the Puerto Rican debt so that they can have a thriving economy and a better lifestyle in Puerto Rico, because it's not fair. You know, all these countries around the world who got indebted to England, to the United States, to other countries, just because they're small countries, and you know, they need debt forgiveness. But in Bernie's list of things he wants to do, Puerto Rico is one of the things that he did pull out. Let me see what this one is. He says empowering tribal nations. Well, he wants to have, you know, continue to protect the Native Americans and their sovereign rights and their treaty agreements and so forth, and to, you know, help improve their life and quality of life. But that's pretty much being done because with these casinos and businesses, other businesses that they're putting on tribal land, they have been very actively looking into their treaties and making sure they have a lot of rights. And a lot of the communities are kowtowing to these tribes because the tribes have more money than the community because the casinos are doing such great businesses. Now, those casinos, the problem with them, in my eyes, and this is just because, you know, I've seen things like when I went to Las Vegas, I was shocked at how poorly Las Vegas is doing because a lot of its business has been divvied up to some of these tribes around the United States. But Las Vegas goes into these tribes and, you know, gets a hand in their pockets, too, because the Indians, of course, don't know anything about running a casino. So they go in and, they, you know, they get 50-50 sometimes deals with these casinos. So although Las Vegas might look bad, they're still reeling in a lot of money because with their agreements would probably be very heavily on the side of the people who own the casinos in Las Vegas. So the I don't see anything different that Bernie would do for the Native Americans than what's being done currently. But I'm looking over here. And some of the things he wants to do are things that are actually better done in Congress. Now, he's a senator, but he has a lot of power. He's able to do a lot of these things just by talking to, you know, fellow senators. And maybe he just doesn't have a lot of clout with his fellow senators, and he feels he has to do it only by being president, because his power in the Congress is not that great. In other words, he can't convince people to do the things he wants, and he might be an outsider because he's not a Republican or a Democrat. He's more of a socialist. So maybe that's the turnoff problem that he's having in Congress that makes him put all of these things on his to-do list for the presidency. So let me take another look. Medicare for all. Well, no one wants Medicare for all. Medicare is great for seniors, but people who have really good insurance don't want to go into a Medicare system. And I'll tell you, the problem with the Affordable Care Act, I was all for it. I love it. But it was not supported by area congressmen, the cities, the county supervisors, no one, state government, no one is working with the law. And so the care that's being given through the Affordable Care Act is horrible. It's ever-changing, and it's not the fault of law. It's not the fault of President Obama. It is the fault that people were not were adamant. They were not going to let this thing succeed, and so the only people who have been doing well are the insurance companies and the drug companies. The drug companies have put their prices up. The insurance companies have continually increased their cost to become a member. The best thing that happened is that you don't have to worry about being dropped by a insurance company because you have a pre-existing condition, and that's a great thing. But otherwise, it's been very poorly administered, and great idea, but the people that are currently in the Congress are unable and unwilling to push forward with the law so that it really is the great health care that it could be. Let me see. So he has a lot of different things here, you know, like pay to restore the Hudson River, that's in New York, helping the airline industry, standing with Guam, fighting for disability rights. Well, we've been doing that every day for many years. Okay, well, my time is up, as you can hear. I don't think I'll get to the Bernie rally because it's going to be a lot of people, and I pretty much know what he's going to say, and I'm sure it will be packed. And I will let you know exactly what I find out, and we can discuss it later. Okay, take care, and bye-bye.